How you guys doing? Good. I have a good report from Waxahachie. I was in camp. Mary and I were in camp all week at Encounter God's Presence, and it was a blessing. A lot of really good word fed into those kids. There was probably about 250 kids there from 12 to 18, and a lot of kids healed spiritually and physically. A lot of people slain in the spirit. You don't expect that from a youth camp, so it was pretty amazing. All the teachers all week, it was definitely God, because it just, one went from another to another to another, and they all just fed off each other, even though they weren't, they would just come in and speak and leave, and the next guy would come in and just, and they weren't even, you know, some would be from other states, and it was like God was moving, so it was awesome. God had been showing me lately just this picture of a vessel. And, you know, in the old days when they made a vessel, the potter made it, and then he used it. So a vessel is nothing of itself. It's made by somebody, and then that somebody uses that vessel to do something. And so he's been showing me that. And while I was there, they do prophecy and stuff like that. A guy came up to me and goes, "I have a word for you." And he goes, "I see you and your wife, and you're this huge vessel." And I was like, "Okay, God, that was you." And he goes, "And you're going to be filled up, and you're going to just, and God's going to give you a word on who to pour out onto." So that was awesome. Today, actually, I want to teach on worry or anxiousness. So I'm going to turn to Matthew 6. Does anybody here ever worry or? Or anxious? So I don't know. So okay. So I want to start at verse 22. This is the Matthew 6 for everybody. Is the where Jesus tells us all how to pray. So, but we're going to skip past that and go to verse 22. And it says, "The light of the body is the eye, and if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of light." It's talking about when it says single, in the Greek it means whole or perfect. It's usable when you look out. So like everybody, you're all looking right now and you can see this room. It's all lit up. So the next verse says, "But if the eye be evil, thy whole body is full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is thy darkness?" How great is that darkness? All right, I want everybody to do something for me. I want everybody to close their eyes. Look around. Just turn your head left or right. It's pretty dark. You don't see anything. Okay, so, all right, you guys can open your eyes now. So, with worry, we're going to talk about a singleness. Like the first eye was single. It was, you know, it had a purpose and it's single. Worry is all based off of our mind is in too many directions and we're trying to control too many things instead of being singly focused on God. The next verse, which is an awesome verse, it says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You can't serve God, and this says mammon, but it says wealth in the Greek. So, and I don't know why they picked wealth, because there's a lot of things we can serve, but that's a pretty common one in the world. You know, I mean, everybody goes, "Well, yeah, we need money to pay the bills and eat and all that kind of stuff." So, the Bible, in Matthew, actually at the end of this chapter, towards the end of this chapter, it says to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So, you know, we don't need to worry about that, but we still do. We all worry about it, you know, at one time or another, even me. So, to me, when you have two masters, it's like, I know in my business, when I get into a huge project, and there are many, many things for me to do, and I can start worrying, because I go, how am I going to get all this done, because I have to do this project, and I have to do this project, and this project, and the Lord just says, focus on what's in front of you, and do that, and then move on to the next thing, and do that, and then move on, and it's true, all of a sudden, all the worry goes away, and you just focus on, and by the time you get to the end of the project, it's all done, and you know, you didn't have to worry at all. So, let's see, I'm going to go on to the next verse, verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what shall you eat, or what shall you drink, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on? Is life not more meat, and body more than raiment? And it's true. Those are the things that we do worry about the most. You know, are we going to eat today? I mean, we don't. And probably in this country, not so much. But, in third world countries, they do. They worry about what they're going to eat and what they're going to wear. We worry about how we look and and how good the food's going to taste. So, but it's still the same thing, you know. It's still the same worry, you know. And it's when you think about it, it's sort of ridiculous. But it's just who we are because we don't know who we are, really. So, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more better than they? Okay, so God takes care of all the plants, and they bloom every year. Do you guys do anything to, well, some of us who are garden, but do you do anything to make that flower bloom? I mean, literally, you just put it in the ground, and it comes up. God did that. He created that seed that grows and turns into that plant, and then it blooms, and then it creates another seed, and it goes in the ground. I mean, we didn't have anything to do with that. That was all God. And the birds, you know, we put bird feeders out, and I think birds like that, but they don't need it. God's already provided for them, you know. So, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? It was funny because I spoke to David and Louise and some last week, and I quoted it, can add 1 minute to his life, and I kind of read that, and I went back to the Bible, and it says one cubit to his stature, and there's a couple interpretations of that, but it's pretty much the same thing. If you can add 1 minute to your life, you can't make yourself taller. So if you worry, I want to be taller, I'm going to worry, Lord, make me taller, and it's not going to happen, you're not going to be taller, and you can't add 1 more minute to your life. Your life is your life, so whichever is correct in the Greek, you can't do it by worrying. It just isn't going to happen. So God's saying, relax, you know, I got this. So, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. And they toil not, neither do they spin. Meaning, you know, worrying. They're not all worrying and everything. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I meant to actually bring a lily. They were blooming in my yard this morning, so that would have been perfect, but I didn't. So, but they're beautiful, yellow, not spinning, just there. Therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which to this day and tomorrow is cast in the oven, what shall he not much clothe you, O ye of little faith? So it's like, you know, why are you worried about what you're going to wear when God, you know, when the grass of the field, which is here and it blooms and then it dies, God, you are so much more precious to God, and yet he does that for just that insignificant plant. So, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall you eat, or what shall you drink, or wherewithal shall you be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of, all these things. But ye seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I'm not going to read the last verse yet. There's many things that we need, be it clothing, or be it peace about a job, or be it recognition from friends. You know, there's things that we feel that we need in this life, where really all we need is God and just his love and his presence. There was a speaker that spoke this week, and he was from Syria. And this really hit me because when we were in Israel, we could see Syria, and it was being bombed, and we were probably a mile away, and it was devastating. I mean, because people were like, wow, that was crazy. I'm like, no, there's like people dying over there. And these people live in Syria, and when he was talking, that brought that back to mind, and he said every day, you know, where they live would be bombed. And so, and they were always afraid, and then one day God came to him and he said, will you give your life for me? And he was like, okay, okay, I can do that. And he got a little more peace. And then he said, you know, the next day he said, will you give your wife's life for me? Will you, you know, will you lay her life down? So if she dies, you know, will you do that? And he's like, okay, I can do that. And then the next day, the wife, she was praying, and God said, will you lay your children down for me, you know, if they die? And so they both laid down their children. And then they were totally set free from that day. And when God told them to go do something, they would walk through the city, and bombs would be going off everywhere, and buildings would be being shredded, and they would just go do whatever God told them to do. They have a school there, and there were Muslims and Christian kids in this school, and the city was being shelled, and they just started praying, and all the buildings around them were destroyed, but this little school where all these little kids were in, and the Muslim parents, when they came up, they're like, we know you have God, because there's no way, because everything else was destroyed. Another thing that they said was, which was amazing, was it was all the buildings that had crosses on it were untouched. So, but all the building, you know, all the other buildings were just decimated. So that was, you know, that's God. I mean, God is taking care of them because they're seeking first the kingdom. They're putting down their life, and they're saying, God, you are what is important, and I am not going to worry about me and what I need and what blesses me. And when you are able to get rid of everything in your life that worries you or that you feel you need, it's like all that anxiety goes away because you're not worried about anything. You're just totally 100% expecting God to come through, and he will. And it's just like, it's just a peace, and there's no anxiety at all when you know that God's going to come through no matter what. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understandings. And we do that a lot. I know I try to figure things out, and it's always best if I don't and just go straight to God and go, God, I have an answer for this situation, but what is your answer for this situation? And he does, and he comes through, and it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. One of my favorite scriptures is, we make our plans, but God directs our paths. And it's so funny how you do that. You go, this is, I'm going to do this and this and this, and then you get like step two, and you just turn, and you're like, that is not what I had in mind at all, God. But he said, you know, I have a blessing for you, and it wasn't the way you were going. I mean, your way was your way, but you're going to be blessed if you do this. And he just turns you to whatever he has in mind. So Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, be careful for nothing. So don't worry about anything. Don't worry about your house, you know, your car, your clothes, you know, your family, what you're going to eat. Don't worry about any of that. God already knows. You're in his fold now. You're in his family. And God is, you know, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He is not worried about the things that we're worried about. So it says, but in everything be in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So thank you, God. And let your requests be made known to God. Earlier on in this chapter, it says when you ask God for something, it's funny, I need to study on this one, but it says when you ask God for something, just ask him once. He knows. It says, don't be like, don't be like the, you know, the world and ask over and over and loud so that everybody can hear you. God knows your heart, and you get to ask him, and you just let it go. You send in the request. All right, that's my request. God heard you. Which to me, it's because I was thinking about that also because the Bible says stand, you know, keep knocking, and I'm like, well, God, how does that relate? But so. I'll next time I preach, I'll talk on that. So, but another thing about worry is you got to ask yourself who the devil is. Who is the devil? The devil in the Bible. It says in John 8:44. It says that the devil is the father of lies, and that's what he's the best at. And when he tempted Jesus, he used all this truth, and then he put a little lie on the end. And that's what the devil does to all, he does that to us all the time. And that's what makes us worry, because we go, you know, we have all this truth, and then he'll just change a little bit. You know, what did he say to Eve? You know, he said, God said you'd die. God didn't say you'd die right then. And so Eve ate the apple and she goes, oh, I didn't die. But, you know, 400 or 500 years later, she died. So the devil just takes it and he just twists the truth just a little bit. So be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary is the devil. As a roaring lion, he walketh about to seek whom he may devour. But you know what? I think when we see the devil finally, when we get to heaven, we'll be like, that guy is so insignificant. I don't know why I was ever worried about that, because my God is this great God. You know, we have angels standing about us all the time. I think people forget that. They're just there. Do you guys name your angels? I have Steve and George behind me. I'm sure they have different names in heaven that we don't know. But what do you have to worry about? You know, when God gives you something to do, do it. And don't worry about how he's going to provide. There was another young man there who, he had an amazing testimony. And at 13, his grandmother died, and she was his entire world. And he totally just gave God away. He said, God, I hate you. I don't want anything to do with you. He went into the world. He got into drugs. At one point, he overdosed and died. And when the medics brought him back, they said, you've been dead for 20 minutes. And he knew something had to change right then. And he ended up giving his life to Christ. But where I'm getting at is, I went up to him later and I thanked him for his testimony. And he said, you know, God has really blessed me. He goes, when I met my wife, or who was going to be my wife, and I knew she's the one. And then she said, by the way, I'm moving to England and I'm going to be there for 2 years. And he's like, God, wait a minute, she's the one. I know she's the one. But he said, okay, well, I guess I'll just wait for 2 years. And 2 weeks later, he went to church and people just started handing him money. And they're like, God just told me to give you this money. He ended up getting enough money where he sold everything he had and he moved to England, and a couple months later they were married. So it's just like, I mean, and he didn't tell anybody. He didn't say anything to anybody. And some of the churches, he just was visiting different churches. They didn't even know who he was. They just said, God told me that somebody was going to be here today that I needed to give money to. And they just, so, I mean, that's God providing. When he gives you a calling, when he gives you something, you just do it and don't worry about it. Because we can try to figure out, well, how am I going to make this work logistically? We don't have to worry about that. So, all right. Probably the best known chapter in the Bible, I think, is Psalm 23. And verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So when everything bad is going on around you and you're worried about things, you just can relax in his comfort. You know, I mean, earlier in the chapter it says, you know, we're lying down in green pastures. So it's like God has just blessed us no matter what's going on. Green pastures, valley of death, we're blessed. So, I mean, over and over again, the Israelites were taken into captivity. And every time they were taken into captivity, they were blessed. So even though they weren't in their own country with their own people and everything, you know, they were always given, you know, position, and they were blessed, and they came out better for it. So, different things that you can be anxious about. I think I said this earlier, but, you know, money. Money is a huge one, and God knows it. Something that always blows my mind, and I can give testimony to this, is my wife and I have always been able to pay our bills, and I don't know how. Especially the first 2 years of our marriage, I have no idea how we paid our bills. Before we got married, my dad said to Mary, he goes, you know he doesn't have a penny to his name. She says, yes, I know, but I love him. So that's God for you. I mean, every month we pay our bills, so.
Yeah.
Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And what he said, you know, in Luke 14, 26, he said, if a man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yea, even his own life, he can't be my disciple. It doesn't mean hate. It just means you realize that God's what's important. It's, you can't hold those things dear. They can be taken from you just like that, and you have to let them go. God is what's important. And when you let all that stuff go, and when that stuff becomes not important to you, your house, your car, your finances, you don't worry anymore because you know that God's got it all under control, and that even when things are taken from you, God will, you know, turn it to glory, and you'll be blessed out of it somehow. You know, even though it can totally destroy you, as a human, God will raise you up and he will bless you. So, verse 34 says, each day has its own troubles, but don't think about tomorrow's while you're dealing with today's. Sorry, it doesn't say that. That's my interpretation of what it says. It says, therefore, no thought for the morrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day the evil thereof. So it's just saying that every day things are going to happen. Don't worry about tomorrow's things or the next day's things or 2 months down the road's things. Take everything, every day, take it to God and go, here's my worries today, God. I'm going to lay them down at your feet because I don't need them. They're just a burden on my back that I'm carrying needlessly because God says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So it's like two oxen, and there's a little oxen and a big oxen, and the little oxen is doing nothing, but he's like, look at me, look at all I'm doing. And it's the big oxen that's doing everything. And so this little guy is no burden at all. You know, this guy here on this side is plowing the field. So it's like, okay, come in. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'm going to turn to Psalm 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O Lord Most High. What time am I afraid? I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. For every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mask my steps. They wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down thy people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings, but I put my tears in a bottle, not in a book. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not also deliver my feet from the falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? So, every day when you guys start to worry or start to think about today or tomorrow, remember, you don't need to be anxious about anything because God is in control. You can lay all that down. Worry doesn't, you can't get any taller by worrying. You can't add any height to yourself. I mean, God is saying, relax. I've got your burden. Let me take care of it. Just be at peace in me and enjoy this life. God is, he's into joy and excitement and living life to the fullest. So if you're bogged down in that anxiety, you're going to miss all that. And God wants to share that with you every day. So, I mean, the Bible says, you know, spend time in the Word every day, because, you know, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So, all right. That's what I have for today. I love you guys.